Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, there were some things, three things that I wanted to bring about with them and make mention of them in their lives. And you can see it with graduation and people's newness in life, that when they leave a place, they graduate, that day is now changed. They're no longer a high school senior. They're a graduate, and they can never go back to those days. And that's not a bad thing. Has anybody here ever wanted to go back or thought about going back to high school after you've already graduated? I mean, it was bad and all that type of stuff, but if any of you ever played sports, you probably wish you could go back and do it again. You know, and except for the two-a-days and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, there was change. Change is now taking place in their life. And how many of you know that change is taking place in our life? And when we begin to start seeing things from the perspective of God and the fact that there was a change that took place 2,000 years ago, amen, is brought here into this planet here by Jesus Christ, change came. He died upon a cross, gave us a new life, we changed. And how many of you realize that we've been transitioning from glory to glory in that change ever since? And that's what's going to be taking place in these seniors, and that's what's taking place right now on planet Earth with all of us in dealing with the different things, with the coronavirus and all the other things. You know, one of the biggest changes I probably will never forget in my life was at 9/11. And we all very well remember, but it changed the whole world. It changed everything. The world as we knew it before that has changed. And from that day, even to now, the change that had taken place that day is still evolving. Things took place that day on 9/11, and things today are still being transitioned because of the changes that happened that day. I want you to think about that a little bit. See, we continue with the transitioning process, and we're being conformed to that which has already been changed. The transitioning conforms us. That's part of it. The way we traveled changed forever. Security became our focus. We began to think about it. They inspected our luggage a little differently. They scan your carry-ons luggage. They make you turn on your laptops. They make you remove your shoes, take your belts off, you know. They even scan people. You know, they profile. They do all kind of things to look. Freedoms have been taken away compared to the way they used to be. Before 9/11, we had certain freedoms that you didn't have to take your belt off and stand in line forever and all the other things. But nevertheless, it was for the safety of all of the citizens that these laws went into play. And the check-in process, although it used to be very simple, is not so simple anymore. It used to be if you had a ticket and you still had time to get to the gate, you could make that flight. But not anymore. Now it's a several-hour process just to get on the plane. You have to have proper identification now with a little star to fly coming in a few months. And your name on your ticket must be the same as on your identification. Used to be that you could carry on whatever you wanted in your baggage and all, but now liquids are to a certain amount. You can only take on a certain amount of liquids. Limitations on what you can take on board of a plane and your carry-ons, things have been limited in that way as well. And you have to watch out what you say to all people, not just the airline personnel, because they're scrutinizing everything that you say. You can't make a joke and say, I'm taking this baby down. I mean, you know, they're going to take you down. And you won't be getting up for a while. And you say, well, I was just joking. There is no joking. Used to, you could do that. You don't do that anymore. And now they have asked you to, and of course over the years, to report any strange activity that you may have seen. You didn't do that before. I mean, my goodness, everybody would be pointing everybody out in the airport. You know, people running through airports. You don't run in an airport anymore. You don't scream or do anything like that. And they want you to report anything that's been left unattended. I don't know anybody that would leave their luggage unattended in the airport, but I guess you used to be able to do that. Set it down and walk over and get you something to drink or whatever. And you also must sit in your assigned seat. You can't say, well, you know, there's three seats there empty. Can I just go sit in one of them? No. No, this is your assigned seat. Why? They've rules and regulations. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. My wife's sitting right there. Why can't I just sit next to her in that empty seat? And because it changes, if the plane goes down, it changes things of who is where and all this kind of stuff. But things change. Well, it used to be not that way. I remember coming back from Moscow back in 91, January of 91, and it was Carl Phillips and I and Rudy Leitze. We'd all been to Russia, and we were there for a couple of weeks, and we came back, and on this big plane. I guess it was 747. We were flying back from Moscow into New York and then on back to here to Atlanta or whatever. And we were like the only three passengers on the entire plane. We could turn somersaults, lay anywhere we wanted to, do whatever we want. I'm serious. There was only us on this huge plane. And that just stands to reason. Now, you'd think a lot of people from Russia would want to leave that place. But they can't, you know. But we were coming back home, and there was nobody on the plane but us. You can just, like I said, sit anywhere you wanted, do whatever you wanted. And it was just different. But the thing with the COVID-19, this coronavirus, everybody knows that there's been a change from the day has hit our country. And that the change is being redefined weekly, is it not? But no one knows the final outcome from the change that has occurred. We really don't know where it's going to lead to and all the things that's going to take place. So we're all just really navigating through an unknown change. And that's why it's so important for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Don't lean upon the commentators and the politicians and everybody else trying to tell us what they think when they don't know either. And the things that, as you can very well see, that we've got going on with travel today, is still been affected from something 19 years ago. And so we don't know, but one thing is for sure, no one is exempt. We've all having to deal with it. And the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the entire world. Social distancing has touched everybody's life. It's changed the way we interact with each other. It's changed the way we communicate. It's changed the educational system, the way it's been handled. It's changed the economy. Changes the way you have medical treatments. So it's touched everyone and has brought change to all our lives. And what we're doing is transitioning from that change. And so if you find it hard to do so, just feel like, well, you know what? We're all in that same place because we're all transitioning to our next place. But you know, I take peace and pleasure in the fact that I know that one thing is not going to change, and that is who we are in Christ. You know, when we grab a hold of that and we realize a couple of very, very important things. One thing I learned my first trip to Russia back in 1990 was that God wasn't an American. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? But I just never thought about it. But when I got there, I realized that he wasn't American. He didn't really care if he had ice. They don't, you know, they ice in your drinks. Why? I mean, y'all may not think anything about it, you know, just, well, I want my ice in my drink. But they didn't do that. As a matter of fact, if you wanted ice, they'd put one or two cubes floating around in that hot drink. And that's just the way it was. They didn't have air conditioning like we have air conditioning. They didn't travel the way we traveled. Everything was a little different. And as I sat there on the curb in front of the McDonald's there in Moscow, I saw some ants on the ground there. And the Lord said, they got ants over here too. Yeah. And I realized they're no different than us. It's just that they've been under a particular culture and we've been under a different culture. But God's still God of both places. Amen? And that he has not changed. And you know what's even better than that? The assignment of the church is not changed either. The assignment of the church of Jesus Christ has not changed, not one bit. regardless if there's been civil wars, crusades, pandemics, depressions, economic upheavals, volcanoes, none of those things has changed our assignment, because it cannot. And when we realize that our assignment comes from God, doesn't come from the world, then it changes a little our perspective. We can be able to grab a hold and stay focused on things. Say this word with me, change.
Change.
Say transition.
Transition.
Say distractions.
Distraction.
Now, this morning you're going to hear, as we read through some scriptures that the Lord's put on my heart, that there's change, and that took place in your life when you got born again. And there's a transition in that, but there's also distractions along the way. And today is Pentecost. How many of you realize that 50 days ago, you know, basically was the Passover, and now is the day we celebrate Pentecost. We're not going to go into a lesson on that, but we're going to read about it, because it was a promise that on that day that Jesus made to the disciples, to the apostles. And we're going to read some of those scriptures. And as we read through these scriptures, which is going to do a lot of reading, we're going to be able to see what? Change, transition, and what else? Distractions. So let's just go ahead and let's open up with prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, no matter how hard I prepare or how much I study, no matter what I do, Lord, without you, it means nothing. So, Lord, I thank you this morning as people have come this and positioned themselves. Lord, you know right where they are, what they're going through, and you can speak a word to them, a now word, a word that will be able to reach them, to help them in a transition of their life from glory to glory. And, Lord, we promise you all the honor and glory and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." Say liberty. We could say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom. Freedom from captivity, freedom from bondage, freedom from a lot of things. But it didn't say it wouldn't be freedom to where you can just do whatever you want, whenever you want, and however you want, because there are laws of the land. But we're free from being slaves to the devil and to things like that and to the demonic world. But we're free from that. And it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord," as we look upon the glory of the Lord, "are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Spirit of the Lord is changing us as we yield ourselves to Him. And the way the image that we see of God as we spend time with that, just like it says, "But we all, with open face," without being veiled, without it being, you know, like distorted, "the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." That first glory is the baptism. I mean, you're not your baptism, but being born again is that first glory. But the second glory is being like Him. Is being like Him. And God's going to continue to work on us and work on us and work on us. And we see that in Philippians chapter 4, where He said, "He that began a good work in us will continue working on us until the day of completion," and that would be when we get before Him. So He's not going to let up. So there's always this transitioning that's going to take place in our life because of the change that took place when we accepted Jesus. Yeah. Amen? You get that? Well, you know, the same thing's going to happen with this COVID-19, just like it has with the transportation, just as it has with a lot of other things that we go through in life, whether it be a economic disaster or whatever it may be. Change comes out of those things, and we transition into those things, but we should find security and be at peace inside, knowing that our salvation doesn't change. Our assignment has not changed. Other things will change, but these basic things will not change. The world may change and do a lot of different things, but we don't change. Turn to the one next to you and say, "I don't change." So your assignment will not change. The way we approach ministry may change. The way we do ministry may change, but our assignment will never ever change. We're still to go into the uttermost parts of the world and minister the gospel. And it's very clear how we're to go about it. So why don't we go ahead and turn this morning to Acts chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, the former treatise, or the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, as y'all are still turning, I went ahead and started reading because we're going to read that again while you're there. The word Theophilus means, it was a Gentile man of high rank in the Roman army he was writing this to. And the name means friend of God. Anybody here a friend of God?
Amen.
Amen. It also means lover of God. Anybody here a lover of God? It also means loved of God. Anybody here besides me been loved of God? So this letter was written to you. Okay? So if that's what it means, then you can take this letter, this record, this account that Luke wrote and address it to you. And it says that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, the day of ascension, which was 40 days after Easter. 40 days after Easter, the ascension, he went up into heaven. And at the end of Luke's gospel, you'll see where, since Luke wrote that, if you read that, the very last part of Luke's gospel and picked up here in Acts, it's just like it just continues on. It says that he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, he gave them some commandments, which was what? He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait there. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. Verse 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. And his passion was his death, burial, and resurrection. His passion was to die for us. It says, made himself alive after his passion by many, say many, infallible proofs. Infallible proof. Wait, there are things he did that just, you can't say, well, I don't know if that really happened. He sat down and ate dinner with them. A lot of the translations in the book of Acts here in chapter 1 made mention that he ate food with them. How many of you know dead people don't do that? He shows up in the middle of a room without coming through a door. No knock, no prior phone call, no nothing, just pops in. But he's still able to eat. He says, see these wounds? These are scars of mine, and I'm proud of these scars because these scars tell me that by these scars you're healed.
Yeah, thank
Amen?
The Lord.
He wasn't trying to cover them up. He didn't go to a plastic surgeon or anything like that. He's proud of those scars. It means this is my covenant with y'all.
Yeah.
This is like a wedding band of a husband to his wife. You know, he's proud of those scars. And he says that there was many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, you see somebody that died on a cross, you know it took place, and you've been watching him and hanging out with him for 40 days. And it says that he spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that interesting there that Jesus had something to say to the disciples, and it was so important that he kept telling them about it and teaching them about it for the next 40 days, and it was what? About the kingdom of God. In other words, God's way of doing things. Because, as I've said before, if you're going to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. And the king is his domain. That's where they get kingdom. And so he talked to them about the king and his domain. How many of you know that God owns heaven and earth and all that's within it? And so he was explaining to them God's way of going about doing things. And that's what he did for 40 days. And being assembled together with them, Jesus with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. He says, but wait. Say, but wait.
Okay.
Makes me think about a movie or an episode or what you'd watch on TV, but wait, there's more. Stay tuned next week. There's more. And that's what he was saying. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he that he have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Over in, Jesus spoke of this promise in John 14, verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26 of chapter 14, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus desired and the Father desired for the Holy Spirit to come to this place to live inside of you. How many of you know why? So that you could speak in tongues? Is that why he sent you? No, because he knew that the transitioning that was going to take place in your life from that change, you needed help. Yes. He knew that you needed a comforter to explain to you it's going to be okay. He knew that you needed a teacher to teach you why and how and to go about things. That's why he sent him. He knew that you'd need a guide in this transition time of your life, transitioning from glory to glory. So God knew exactly what he was doing. The Father and Jesus both know, said, you know, in order for this bunch to get from this change to where I'm taking them, they're going to need some help. Turn to the one next to you. He's talking about you. We all need help. And Jesus knew it. And the Father knew it. And he says, we're going to have to send the Holy Ghost because he's the Comforter. Aren't you glad he didn't send somebody else? Amen. Send the Holy Ghost down there to comfort you. John 15, 26 said, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus being the Son of God. The Father, like I said, it was his idea. He wanted him to come. And I like this, that he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You know, I believe he still brings things to our remembrance today. But not just things of the scriptures. And so it's important to read scriptures and to learn the scriptures, to be able to quote the scriptures. That's all good. But how about your quiet time? You know, he'll bring back to remembrance to you things that you've talked about in quiet time with him. Things to help you in a dilemma. There's been times when I was faced with a particular task. And I asked the Lord about this particular thing. I said, "Well, Lord, what about this?" And he said this to me. He said, "Alan, anything worth having will have giants in the land." I, like everybody else, wanted the easy route. Nobody wants to face giants. I had enough going on in my life. But that word that he spoke to me walking down that country road at night still speaks to me to this day. And there's times where I'll be doing something, looking at whatever, and that word will come back up again to me that he spoke back then because it still has life in it. And when he says anything worth having will have giants in the land, what he was saying was this: you're a giant killer. You killed it once, you'll kill it again. But I'm not going to kill it for you. I want you to do it. I'll equip you. I will give it to you. It's yours, but you're going to have to be the one to do it. Or you can run and hide. And you know what? That just doesn't set well with me about running and hiding. So we have here a promise of the Father, which he said he was going to send the baptism of the Holy Ghost to help us with this transition. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Excuse me. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power." Say, "I'll receive power." "After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and unto Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." He said, you will what? Receive power, dunamis power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He had full intentions of giving you the Holy Spirit to guide you, to comfort you, to teach you during this transition. He knew that you needed this. But it was not just for to have the power, but it was to be a witness unto him everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, to be a witness. And that witnessing has never changed. The reason the Holy Spirit was given to you was so that you could be a witness of Jesus that he has called us to be. The Holy Spirit was not given to us so that we could be prideful people and say, well, we do this and we do that. The children of Israel didn't fulfill their destiny in the earth because they became prideful over calling themselves the children of God. God told them that they should be a witness unto all the people, and that by cause of the blessings upon their life, people would come to them and say, how? But they failed. They isolated. They excluded the world from them. Didn't even like people that were like part Hebrew. They secluded them as well. It was in their leadership, and it was all the way down in rank and file to the smallest. And you know, the same thing can happen in church today. I've known ministers who were haughty and thought that they were above the rules of the people, and that everybody should set their schedule around their schedule. And that's wrong. My minister is not supposed to be abused, but we're servants just like your servants. We're all servants of God. Amen? And that, and we need to live that way. Nobody is above the Lord. It says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. They said, why stand you gazing up to heaven? I wonder how long they would have stayed there gazing up into heaven, looking up into the sky. Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem, which was about 3/4 mile away. They were at the Mount of Olives. He said, I want you guys to go back to Jerusalem and wait. How many times has the Holy Spirit told us to do something, we just stand there gazing up into heaven? It's awful quiet in here. How many times did the Lord tell us to speak to a mountain in faith, the mountain that's before us, and we just stand there gazing up into the sky, waiting on him to do something, when he's told us to do something? How many times has the Holy Spirit revealed to us things to come, and we just stand there looking into to the sky like it's never happened? You know, a lot of the people do that. A lot of the church world is still standing, looking up, and not doing what he told us to do. Amen? But if we're going to walk in all that God's called us to do, then we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to quit just looking up and start doing and being obedient to what he's called us to do. Amen? So when we get over to chapter 2, we see it on verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That Pentecost is just like it is today, the day of Pentecost. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice here it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that if you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there's going to be change? Change has happened. Change happened. They got filled, change happened. Now it's a transition time, and what does this mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And they're going to have to walk it out. And it says they began to speak with other tongues. That was one of the transition things. And it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded. Say confounded. You know why? That would be just another way of saying that they were like at wonder, amazed at what was taking place. Because of this reason, it says, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. How many of you know that's a miracle? Here it is. We've got these 120 people speaking in a language, not of tongues, a language that they did not know and did not learn, and that everybody there was hearing it in their language. And they were all amazed and marveled. There we go again. We've been talking about being that there'll be manifestations and miracles, and God wants us to do things through us that will cause people to be full of wonder and marvel. That we're not to be common, we're not to be ordinary, but we're to be extraordinary. And marvels and wonders is extraordinary, amen? And those manifestations. And here is a manifestation that they have heard them speak in their language, and they marveled at this, and they were amazed. It says, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya and in Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And if it was wonderful, it caused them to be at wonder. They were wondering at these works of God. And it says then they were all amazed. Here it is, they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They were amazed, and it brought them to ask questions. It says, others mocking said, these men be full of wine, of new wine. But Peter stood there and told them and explained to them, no, that's not the case. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These guys aren't drunk. But this is what the prophet Joel spoke and said that was going to take place in the last days. And so this is taking place, and it gets on down to verse 19. Let's look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding it. And he goes on and talks about David and how David saw and knew who Jesus was before Jesus was here. And it went on down till it gets to the place where we see that day 3,000 people came to know the Lord. 3,000. Because of the signs and wonders that took place. What? Them speaking in another language that they didn't know. They had no idea, but 3,000 came to know him. And then it says here verse 39 of chapter 2, it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Is anybody here been called of God to salvation? It says, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is unto you and unto your children and to your children's children and to those that are afar off, say, you're the far off. See, each one of us are the far off, even as many as the Lord shall call you. It's not been done away with. We're still in transition. People are still learning who they are in Christ. We still need the Holy Ghost. Amen. We still need to have the Comforter in our life. We still need the guide. We still need the teacher. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they were gladly baptized. And the same day they added 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When they were walking with God, talking with God, seeking the Lord, they're not afraid of it, and they say, okay, Lord, I yield myself to you. Signs and wonders is part of it. It's just part of it. Why? Because they're extraordinary. And you are extraordinary. There's no reason that we should live the ordinary. In this new norm that we're in, our new norm should be the extraordinary. If the world wants to go backwards, let them go backwards. We'll be, that just makes the miracle that much bigger. Think about it. Well, you had to practice social distancing, but they still got healed. You follow me? Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together, that'd be into the temple. How many of you realize that'd be a transition going from one place to another? It says, and Peter and John went up together into a temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, or most translations says was being carried. In other words, he was in transition as well, going from one place to the temple himself, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So here it is. We have Peter and John on their way in transition, going from one place to the temple. And we've got this man who was been lame from his birth, and people were picking him up and carrying him to the temple, to the gate Beautiful, which they did daily. And he was brought there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he was going up there to beg every single day. So as they brought him up, as they was in transition, bringing him to it, and Peter and John, as they were in transition going there, something took place. Something took place. He asked Peter and John, maybe they were getting ahead of him a little bit, and so he decided to speak up. I don't want to miss these two guys before they go into the temple. And it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter stopped, fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He expected to get some gold or silver or something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were what? Filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. They were all like, what just happened? What took place? Because Peter and John decided to do what God's called them to do, and to give them something freely that was given to them, freely I give to you. You know, he says, in the name of Jesus, I've been given the use of this name, and in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And took him by the hand, brought him up. There was a change that took place in this man's life. He'd been unable to walk his entire life. Change just took place. And he was going to have to transition in many areas of his life. Things were going to be a little differently. How many of you realize that all his life, it was, I'm waiting on somebody to pick me up, take me to the restroom, pick me up, take me to the down to the temple, pick me up, carry me here, pick me up, carry me there, all these type of things. What did he do? All his life he begged, you got anything you can give me? Can you give me anything? I mean, some scrap food? You got something you can give me? This is what he did all day, every day. And then just in a twinkling of an eye, he went from begging to leaping and walking. Change just took place. But not only change of him being able to actually get up and do something like that, now he's going to change his work ethic as well. There's a lot of change that can take place. There's a transition in this guy's life. He's able to walk now, and he's going to have to change the transitioning from being a beggar to being somebody who works. there's a transition going to happen in his life for him to be productive and to go about and tell everybody about what God has done in his life. And it says, and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were all filled with wonder. How did this happen? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel? Say marvel. So we're supposed to be doing marvelous things. Why marvel? Why marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or our holiness we've made this man to walk? Well, we didn't do it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, our covenant God, that's what he was saying, our covenant God, because the covenant doesn't have an expiration date. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Now this is a man that was full of boldness, isn't it? This same guy, 55 days earlier, or right about, denied even knowing Jesus. 3 times in one night. I don't even know the guy. Where did this boldness come from? It came because he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was changed, and now he's transitioning. He's standing up saying, let me just tell y'all something. And 3,000 got saved. And then 5,000 get saved. And people everywhere, things are happening. Why? Because of a boldness that came on him through the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we need the Holy Ghost. Don't say, well, I'm afraid to say anything. You got the Holy Ghost. You ain't got no reason to be afraid. Never fear what man can do to you. He said, you denied him. In verse 16, well, let me go ahead and read 15. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We're witnesses to this thing. We are all, that's still the assignment of the church, to be witnesses of the work that God has done in your life, that you are now saved. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This man is perfectly sound now, can walk, no more pain. He can do what he couldn't do before, and God gets all the glory. It was in his name. Had nothing to do with us, guys. And that's what he was saying. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of neat. And it goes on and on. As we read the book of Acts, we find out because of a change that took place on the day of Pentecost, there was a transition that took place in their lives. The assignment never stopped. The assignment was always the same, but they needed some help. And this morning, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues, and yet you have quit praying in tongues, maybe you've got a little slack in doing that, you got busy in other things, whatever it may be, you need to recognize that God gave that gift to you because you needed it. And we don't have time this morning to go into all the details about the gift of praying in, of the Holy Spirit, of praying in tongues and so forth. We don't have time to get in. But if you didn't need it, he wouldn't have had it. If you go into studying it out, you'll see the importance of being able to pray in the Holy Ghost. But boldness came and allowed them to rise up to a place and walk out the and fulfill their assignment and do so with confidence. How many of you have ever been somewhere and God wanted you to pray for them and you wanted to do it, but you even said, well, I'm going to do it. And then when you got up there to it, then you got to realize there's people watching. This might happen. This might take place. So you just kind of cowered away from it and didn't do it. Anybody besides me ever had that happen? And you know what takes place? You get outside, and the same devil that told you about all those people now is condemning you because you didn't do it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Quit listening to him. Go and listen to that first verse, that first voice. Go ahead and say, can I pray with you? What's the worst thing that could happen? They would say no. And if they said yes, then guess what? There's the green light. Now you can go ahead and pray with them right there. And do you know that there'll be people watching? It'll encourage them to do so. They're not going to mock you and laugh at you. They may just keep walking if they're not in agreement. Most of the time, especially here in the South, they may stop and pray with you. And we need to, at this time, if we're going to make this transition into the extraordinary, then we just need to take those extraordinary steps and start doing what we've been called to do. That's our assignment. It's never changed. To be a witness. And when people begin to start saying, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that, let me explain something to you. We'll make it real simple for you, okay? It's very important to learn the scriptures. But how many of you have already found out that there's people out there that will argue with you about what the scriptures say? Isn't that right? Anybody had that happen? You try to say, well, the Bible says this, and they say, well, yeah, but I don't believe that. I believe this. Well, I got news for you. What you really, really need to focus on is your testimony. Your testimony. They'll never argue with you about your testimony. They're not going to look you in the face and say, you're a liar. I don't believe anything you just said. They're just like, wow, I've never had anything like that happen to me. They're in amazement. They're wondered at what did you just say? I've given my testimony many, many times over the last 40-something years, and I got news for you. Nobody's ever said, I don't believe you. They may have thought it, but they didn't dare say it. But I could tell them that Jesus is the Son of God and that he loves them, and they would argue with me over that. Well, if he loved me, then why is this happening? Why did that take place? But they'll never argue with you about your testimony. That is being the witness that he's called you to be. You don't have to explain how God parted the Red Sea or any. You don't have to do any of that. You can say, you know, I don't know, but I know this, that my God loves me so much that he did these things for me, and he'll do the same for you. And you begin to share and witness to them from here what he's done in your life. How many of you know, though, he can't do something in your life if you won't allow him? And as we allow Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and there's more and more testimonies that will rise up, more and more things to share, you'll have more and more opportunities to also tell others about those things. A few weeks ago, I was preparing. I got to thinking about what type of miracles has happened in my life. I don't know if I shared this one last week or not, but I had made a transition from one job to another job, and while I was at the first job, I had lost my voice and I couldn't speak. When I talked, the best it would come out, and I'd say it as loud as I could, it'd be like, that's how I would speak. And being that I was one of the bosses, I had to listen. So they did the best they could. And so I left that particular place working for that company and went to work for a new company, had my interview with the owner of the company talking to him in that voice. He just stood there, leaned up against his little counter there when the lady said, we don't need anybody anymore. He said, come on back here with me. Took me back. I didn't know it was the owner of the company. And sat down and began to talk with me. And he said, you know, I don't need anybody, but I'm going to hire you. So I gave my 2-week notice, showed up at the new job. I went out there. I met the guy, the superintendent, talked with him and the best I could. Yeah, oh, good morning. All the crew was out there. Hey, how you doing? Just barely could talk. So for 2 weeks, I worked with them every day, all day long. We'd get lunchtime, break time. We'd all go out to the trailer. We'd get our lunch out. We'd eat, you know, whatever. Lunchtime, we'd show up, do the same thing. Then one day, I'm walking down through there. And I'm walking past the cooling towers at Baptist South. And I stopped. It was real noisy there, you know, with those cooling towers. And I realized, I'm healed. I'm healed. And I just screamed at the top of my lungs, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Start praising him. And so I get over to our trailer where everybody's sitting in there for lunch. And I walk in. Everybody's already beat me down there. I walk in and say, hey, guys, how's it going? Nobody said a word. But they all was watching. They were looking at me like, what's that? It probably would seem like 5 minutes before anybody spoke up, but I know it didn't last that long. And the boss, Don, said, "You can talk." I said, "Yeah, I just got healed right over there by the cooling towers. I was walking by." Now, I've worked with these guys over 2 weeks. They've never heard me say nothing. Then all of a sudden, I'm talking perfect. Do you know not one time did any of them deny that that was true? They all witnessed something that day. And you know, over the course of those next couple years working there, those guys would come to me and want me to pray with them, talk to me about the things of God. We all have that same opportunity. I could have went griping and complaining and, "Why, God, did I lose my voice? How come this happened? How come that happened?" And you know, I probably did, be honest with you. Probably wanting to know, why is it, God, that how come you couldn't, how some heathen out there didn't have, lose their voice? I might have, I don't know. But I was trying to stay focused on, I know God's the healer. And by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. It's just a matter of time that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm not dying. My mother thought I had throat cancer and all kinds. I said, no. But that day, God got the glory. God got the glory. Our life should be filled with these type of things. Instead of getting mad because somebody beat you out of something, took advantage of you, do whatever, just look at it and say, here's another opportunity for God to show himself strong. They beat me out of something, well, the devil's a thief, and they'll have to pay it back 7 times. Quit looking at things from the perspective that they stole from you, and look at it from the perspective that God said that if you caught the thief, he has to give it back 7 times. Amen. The government wants to put this and take this away from me. You know what? God's gave me freedom and liberties in these areas. Amen. Now I'm a red-blooded American. I don't like any of the freedoms that we've had be taken away. I don't like it at all. I don't like what some people are up to, but I know this, I love what God's up to. And my assignment is not as an American, because see, I'm not of this place. I'm from another place. My assignment supersedes the assignment here. And when I was in Russia, I had to do what I did in Russia, what they did, go by their laws. When I was in Germany, I had to go by their laws in Germany. We were in Mexico, I had to go by the laws in Mexico. We're in Canada, had to go by the laws in Canada. Same in the Virgin. Everywhere we went in these foreign countries, guess what? We always had to abide by their laws. But it didn't change the fact that I'm still an American. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. And although I may adhere to the rules and regulations that take place in this planet, guess what? Based upon their laws, I have a higher authority. And I don't have to live according to what they say. We're ambassadors of the Most High God. We live according to what He said. Amen?
Amen?
Every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. You may be here this morning and you're in a transition time and you know it. You can see it. You don't understand all of it, but today it made it a little bit clear. Transition. I didn't get to go into the parts about the distractions because, for time's sake, but I will say this, that there will always be distractions out there in life. There'll always be a distraction to take you off of your assignment. There'll always be a distraction to cause you to lose focus. There'll always be a distraction to tell you, stop your transitioning. Look how somebody's doing this against you. Look what you're being done wrong. There'll always be a distraction. And distractions always happen. They'll always happen at times where you're the most vulnerable. The times when in your life where it's there to cause insecurity. These distractions will cause you to second guess and question yourself. And what did God say? And all these things. And we're faced with these distractions on a regular basis. And God's saying, don't be distracted by what man's doing. Don't be distracted by what the people of this world is doing. Don't be distracted by sickness. Don't be distracted by the economy. I'm still God. I still love you. Your assignment's the same. You will be victorious. Stick it out. Walk it out. Be my witness. You're here this morning, you've been having to deal with distractions and anguish and being aggravated with things. Just stop. Take a deep breath and say, you know what? I'm going to abide by these things, but I'm not of this place. I'm just passing through this place. And I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul. And I've got a testimony that I want to share with everybody else. I want to tell them what God has done for me and in my life. If you're here this morning, you've been having to deal with a little bit of that and separating the two of your rights and the rights of being a Christian. That's a fight. Because you don't like the change. I don't like the change. Nobody likes the change. And when it seems like somebody's taking something away from you. But look where we're going. Stay focused. If there comes a time for there to be a stand in some of these areas, then we all stand together. But some of these is just really not that big of a deal. Stay focused on what God can do through you. And let God be God. Now, let me pray with you. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the people today. And Lord, you see where each person is, and I know that you've spoken into each one of them's life because that's the kind of God you are. They've positioned themselves to hear from you, and you've spoken to them this morning. Lord, I thank you right now that we are changed. We're no longer lost, but we're saved. We're no longer children of this world, but children of yours. Children of light. And Lord, I thank you that we are transitioning from glory to glory every single day. And Lord, we'll not be moved by the distractions, whether it be coronavirus, the economy, burning of cities, politics. All these things, Lord, are distractions from taking us away from our assignment, from being witnesses of you. And Lord, we just begin afresh today. We give ourselves to you, recommit ourselves to you, to stay true to our assignment. We love you. And I declare blessings upon the people today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.